You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome. It's the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast. We're back. We're a day late, but that's because we were traveling back from New York City after we were at the Emmy Awards as a show. We didn't win, but it's all good. We're having a great time. It was a real fun trip, a kind of a whirlwind. We missed some playoff basketball while we were away, guys. Let's get right into it. TJ and Adam are here. What's up?
What's going on?
What's going on, guys?
All right, so Boston last night wins in Miami, takes a 3-2 series lead. They were down five at halftime. Miami was playing really tough. Celtics really couldn't get anything going. Both teams weren't shooting very well. It was kind of obvious right away it was going to be a real low-scoring, kind of tight game, kind of like the late 90s style of basketball.
Grind it out.
Kind of grind it out. This has been a really tough kind of rock fight is a word that's been thrown out. Kind of a rock fight series between these two teams. Very physical, a lot of fouls each game, a lot of free throws, but Boston was able to kind of take control in the second half. Jaylen Brown, Derek White, Al Horford had big games, nearly a triple-double by Jason Tatum. Is this series over in your guys' mind? Does Boston close this out in game six?
Well, a lot depends on if Tyler Hero is coming back. Do we have any updates on his status?
No, I was kind of surprised he didn't play last night because it seemed like heading into game five after sitting out game four, it looked like he was going to go. It's just like he needed a few days rest. He was going to be back for game five, home, big turning point, not decisive game five, but a pivotal game five, a turning point in the series. You know, in something like this, the winner of game five wins 80-something percent of the time. And so I expected him to go last night. I was pretty shocked that he didn't. Jimmy Butler, you know, kind of surprisingly missed the second half of the other night. He didn't look right either. It just kind of looked like he was out there kind of hobbled. His jumper looked way off from the get-go as a result of that knee inflammation. But we have not seen – I haven't seen anything about Tyler Hero. I mean, it's game six. Your season's on the line. You're down 3-2. I mean, I would expect him to be out there, but – it just seems like Boston kind of has things cooking right now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for the Heat. I think the injuries are just getting the best of them. I'm looking at Jimmy Butler's stats from the series. He had 41 points game one, 29 game two, and he's followed the last three games of 8 points, 6 points, and 13 points in bad field goal shooting.
Yeah.
So you could tell he's obviously not right. The Hero loss is huge. He's a guy that sparks their bench. And so, yeah, if I had to put money on it, I think you guys close it out and it's over in TD Garden and you guys have a wonderful Boston home celebration for the Eastern Conference Finals.
All those drunken idiots.
So many drunks.
Just going nuts. You know, TJ, what have you seen? Yeah, what have you seen?
A couple weeks ago, maybe it was even last podcast, we talked about why Jimmy Butler isn't talked about as
on
that superstar tier, right? Because he had those first two games, like you just said, Adam.
Incredible.
And you're like, okay, like Jimmy Butler deserves to be in the talk. When you have the talk, he deserves to be in there. But the last three, four games, like you said, be it injury or whatever, it kind of proves, I guess maybe this is the reason why when you talk about those top 10 NBA players that you don't mention Jimmy Butler. I guess it might be a consistency thing. I really don't ever think you could chalk it up to lack of heart or desire because it seems like, you know, he's always there and he's always going to, you know, be given maximum effort. But just for whatever reason, you know, these last three games have kind of solidified that fact that why he might just be right outside of that top 10, maybe even, I wouldn't even go as far as to say 15, but outside of that top 10 player list. Now, is this over?
Yeah, so, it's been a weird series.
I really thought it was going to go 7 games. And the way it's looking now, like you guys say, you know, especially with Miami's injuries and the inconsistency, you're thinking that it's probably over in Boston. It probably should be over in Boston. But I guess I just got a weird feeling that the Heat are going to pull this next game out.
Oh, really?
I do believe the Celtics will win the series. I do believe they will represent the Eastern Conference. I just don't know if it'll be in 6 games or 7 games. But I feel the end result will be the Celtics. And I also feel like the Celtics are the only team that can stop Golden State from winning a championship, to be completely honest with you.
These are the two best defensive teams in the league, and you're kind of seeing that in this series. They are just beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah, and a lot of people are upset, like, you know, the games aren't exciting, you know, every game's a blowout, and I get that. But if you respect defense and you respect, you know, and I was going to try to put a positive twist on this, but I guess I can't really, because, you know, a lot of these playoffs aren't hardcore fans. They're when the casual fans come in, and when you see stuff like some of these games that haven't been close, then, yeah, you're obviously like, these playoffs aren't good.
I guess, Adam, I'm hoping that, you know, game 5, Miami-Boston, first game in the whole conference finals. So the 4 games between Golden State and Dallas and the 4 games between Boston and Miami, game 5, Boston, Miami, the first game that at halftime was within 5 points. You know, it was 42-37 at halftime in Miami last night. First close game we've had so far. And I saw a tweet, maybe this means we'll have a great NBA finals, but can we get these teams some rest? I really think playing every other day is affecting the quality of play and just how these games are. Does it feel like that to you?
Yeah, I agree. We talked about parity in the league and how there are multiple teams who could win the championship. And that's cool, because this year and next year, you know, there was like probably 7 or 8 teams at the start of the playoffs where we were like, oh my God, like they have a chance to go to the finals. And it could be like that next year also. But just in terms of, like you said, the amount of close games, it just hasn't been as compelling as other years. And I'm hoping, that maybe next year they change it, they extend it a little longer, give them a little more rest. These playoff games have been so intense, and one after the other, it's just constant wear and tear on your body. You see the effects of all the injuries. I think the NBA needs to extend it a little longer and give these teams a little more rest.
Yeah, I mean, why rush through the playoffs at the most critical part of the season?
Yeah.
Also, like, you play the whole year to get to here, and now let's just get these over, like, one day off, then you got to travel. It's like, you're right, man. Like, you want, like, competitive great games, then time off, time to heal, time to rest is going to play a part into that. So
if these are the best 4 teams, let's see these 4 teams at their best.
Yeah,
you know, early on, though,
because no one's 100% healthy, as you know.
Exactly,
at this point, you're never going to be 100% healthy, but get you as close to max healthiness as they possibly can.
In the first round, I believe, was it Boston and Brooklyn? They played a game on Tuesday and then didn't play again until Saturday. Like, why are
I remember
we
you complaining
why,
about
why
that
are we
earlier.
Doing that
yeah,
in
why
the
are
first
rushing?
Round?
Yeah, why
in
are
the
we
first
now?
Round, get let's go every other day. And then as we get to the semifinals and the conference finals and the NBA finals, then give these guys an extra day. Like, I think Bill Simmons was saying, when we switch venues, give them an extra day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, between games 2 and 3, let's take an extra day. You know, between games 4 and 5, let's take an extra day. 5 to 6. On those travel days, let's give them a full travel day, then a day off. I mean, I just think it's really...
What is the reason, then? Is this a ratings thing? You would think that...
I have no idea.
Possibly if they extend the series...
Well, I don't think they want the NBA Finals to be ending in late June.
Yeah, that's true.
Because then their offseason now suddenly just becomes July, August, half of September.
Yeah, everything kind of got weird once the whole pandemic happened. The whole season got pushed back. We had an abbreviated season last year. So I don't think we've really gotten back to that time.
We're not really back on schedule, but it's just really affecting the play. And you could see it, especially, I think it kind of came to a head last night. Like, it was really sloppy basketball. I mean, the Celtics, their turnovers are their own issues. I don't think that's a factor of how much rest they're getting, but missed shots, bad pass, sloppy play, guys getting hurt. I think it really came to a head last night. I mean, there were only 187 points in that game last night.
And for the casual fan that's watching, that's not a hardcore fan like us, it was boring.
It was boring.
It was boring even for me, and I love basketball. Yeah. I tuned out for a good portion of it.
Even tougher, you know, because we had travel. You know, we went to New York for a couple hours, essentially.
Yeah.
Came back, and, man, I was hurting last night, and it was trying to watch this game was just like, man.
It was not helping last night.
So, yeah, but, you know, you look at the positive. You know, Tatum and Brown, I think we spoke about this on the big show, two guys who, like, don't really care who the man is, who don't care what their end number is, as long as the team number is higher than the other teams, you know. And Tatum was what? He was a dime away from a triple-double.
Yep.
You know, there have been questions about him. And by the way, first team All-NBA.
Yeah, I want to talk about the All-NBA teams later.
So, so, you know, people were talking about Tatum, you know, who have a few games where he looks like, yeah, this is All-NBA. And then who have a game where it's like, what's the deal?
He played one of the worst games I'd ever seen in game four. Where I think he only had 10 points, was like 3 for 15.
Game three, I think, right?
Was it game? Which one? The one he was terrible. Game three.
Yeah.
Game three. He was just dog crap.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, buddy, who are you? Are you the guy that we've been talking about this whole playoffs and like March, April playoffs? You're the guy. You're now a top five guy. You're passing Kevin Durant. Everyone's saying, which, you know, kind of seemed crazy, but the play backed it up. Are you that guy who went to Milwaukee and dropped 40 and won the one, or are you this no show in a home playoff game where they really need you? You know, this is a chance to take control of the series and you drop a massive egg. And it's frustrating as a fan and a guy who loves watching him play and loves that he's on my favorite team. You know, you want to see guys once they take the leap, not regress. And it kind of felt we got that with Tatum a couple days ago, but, you know, he's been great the last two games.
Yeah, I mean, in his defense, when you look back at his last five, he had that one game.
Right, yeah,
so
exactly.
It could be, maybe it is fatigue.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, maybe, you know, and by the way, do you understand? And this is why Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. This is why Kobe Bryant is Kobe Bryant. This is why, you know, Shaquille O'Neal and those early 2000s Lakers teams with Shaq. This is why Steph is Steph. When we're talking about the absolute cream of the crop, right? These guys don't have off days. So, you know, the fact of the matter is Jason Tatum had an off night. Does it mean that he's bad? No. It just means he's human. Like, it's tough, man. You're young, but you're playing 40 minutes. You're giving maximum effort. Like, yeah, it is. Guys, it's very hard to go out and average 25 a game every game in the playoffs. Right. And he's showing that because we're talking about one bad Jason Tatum game. And you look, 29, 27, 31, 22 were his other outputs. So, you know, maybe are we getting back to our thing where we're picking on Sidney Crawford's mole and Tyra Banks' forehead just to pick something? I don't know. But I think
he's 23 years old.
23 years old. And you know how I feel about Jason Tatum. It's going to be like one of the biggest regrets of my entire life, and I've said this over and over, that Sixers maybe had a chance, didn't take it, and now for the next 15 years, I'm going to be looking at this out of Jason Tatum.
I'm gonna watch this guy kill you.
Yeah, and wondering what could have been. So, yeah, I feel like a big game, the next game, will make people forget that 10-point out.
Yeah, I think if they close it out, Adam, and, you know, Friday night, game six, Boston, and Larry Bird comes down, gives him the Larry Bird trophy.
Man, that place would be...
I mean, his Sully and Fitz are going to be going absolutely, you know, ape tits. You think the series is over, right? Game six?
Yeah, I think Miami will put up a fight. It'll be a close game, but I see Boston pulling it out. Yeah, and assuming Boston wins and assuming Golden State wins, which I think will happen, Tatum will need to be spectacular in that next series. He can't afford to have a 10-point game. He's been amazing this whole playoffs, except for that game, essentially. But he will have to score 30-plus points every game, I think, for them to even have a chance against Golden State. So there's no bad games he can have.
Yeah, let's talk quick about Golden State and Dallas. They play tonight, Thursday night. This should be out by the time.
One last thing before we leave here, I want to talk about this real quick. Bam.
Oh, right? Yeah.
you look at Bam and you're like, all right, you're going to get that 31-point game, I think, two games ago.
He had that one amazing game, kind of carried them.
Yeah, but other than that, I think he's had 9 and 6 and 10 points. And it's just like the inconsistency is what it is.
Especially when
Miami.
You know Tyler Hero's out and you know Jimmy's a little banged up. You got to be that guy. You got to take it kind of upon yourselves and say, hey, look, I'm going to throw in 28, 14, and 8. 4 blocks, and we're gonna get this game.
Yeah,
we're gonna steal one.
So they're not
Max Strus and Kyle Lowry can't go 0-15.
I'm sorry, but Max Strus isn't a guy you should be dependent upon to get you to.
No, but
he's a great complimentary, right. Nice complimentary guy. But you know the Bams and the Jimmies, they're not showing up each and every night. You're not gonna win
when you're relying on the Struces to kind of hit 4 or 5 threes in a game.
That's asking a lot.
It's asking a lot. You know, Duncan Robinson got some run. I was actually a little bit worried, you know, in kind of the blowout game 4. Duncan, you know, kind of in some garbage time, was kind of making it rain a little bit. And I was a little worried of like, uh-oh, is this kind of the momentum that he maybe needed to carry into game 5, big home game, without Hero? Is he going to maybe have one of those 21-point nights where he hits 5 threes? And, you know, it just wasn't enough.
He's been wildly inconsistent ever since he's been taken out of the lineup. It's probably really messed with his head. It's messed with his flow. This is not the Duncan Robinson you saw 2 years ago in the bubble that was lighting it up. This is a different guy right now.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to Dallas and Golden State. Like I said, Thursday night, 6 o'clock Pacific tip, wherever you're listening to this, maybe 9 Eastern. By the time you hear this, maybe the game's over. Maybe you listened to it before. I got to say, I was shocked that Dallas was able to get one of these games because it looked like no matter how much they threw at Golden State, the Warriors just found a way to win these games, whether it was a blowout or a massive comeback. And so kind of kudos to Luka and the Mavs and everybody for kind of nutting up and showing some heart and kind of getting one of these games. The question is, guys, TJ, can they do it 2 in a row? Can they go to Golden State and steal one of these games to push it to a game 6?
You know, I definitely thought that the Mavs were going to get at least one win here, especially up through. I just did not see them getting swept. And, it kind of showed with the Warriors, maybe they were a little lax, maybe took it a little easy, knowing that they had,
they were going home.
Yeah. It's easy. You showed out for 3 games, so it's kind of understandable that you might have
big comeback
an off
win.
Game. Now, coming back to this game, no, I definitely see Golden State putting Dallas away. There's too much, man. There's when your fourth guy, in this case Wiggins, can give you, 25 a game, and everybody is interchangeable, it seems like. If Steph's not hitting, then Klay's going to hit. If Klay's not hitting, then Poole's going to hit. Then you got Wiggins, This Golden State team, man, it's impressive, and they're going to be a tough out. But I think this series is, as P. Diddy once said, you can change your name to Saran because it's a wrap. I think this one's over.
Over tonight, Adam, in Golden State?
Yeah, at the start of the series, I believe I predicted that it would be 4-2. So I thought Dallas would get a couple. They got one. Like TJ just said, Golden State just has way too many weapons. Just so much depth.
So much firepower. Even
role players like Looney have been playing great. Yep. The first
put
two
some
games.
Respect on Looney.
Kevon Looney was awesome. Yep. Even in a loss last game, I think Kuminga had 17. So he's another guy.
Otto Porter's kind of come back. He was a little injured the last series. He's come back and contributed.
Yeah. So this team is just loaded. And the crazy part is,
well, Otto didn't play last game, but.
Well, I was saying the crazy thing is Gary Payton. The second, he's been out pretty much the whole playoffs, and Iguodala's been out. And despite that, they still have so much depth.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even think about that. Imagine if those two were playing. Like,
yeah.
Sheesh,
well, they're going to need their defense if it's Boston. Yeah.
Hopefully, I don't know their status. Hopefully, at least one of those guys can come back because that would be huge to.
Yeah, I don't think Payton, he definitely wasn't ruled out for the entire playoffs, so.
But yeah,
and maybe that's what they want to do, Adam. Maybe they want to lose a game or two just to extend it to have him come back.
Luka's going to put up a fight tonight. That guy has heart. He's a winner. But like I've said before, when your second best player is Jalen Brunson, you're just not an NBA Finals team. And I love Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
He's going to get a massive contract in the upcoming season. But the truth is, Luka needs another genuine all-star / superstar around him to build a championship. And I forgot who is who do you remember somebody was talking about to not compare Larry Bird to
it was John Sally, right?
Yeah, was he saying that or no? I think it was somebody else who said, who called in, and they're like, I can't compare, you can never compare those two. Anyway, besides the point. The point is that Larry Bird played alongside Hall of Famers. He played with Robert Parrish and Kevin McHale. Luka has had nobody around him, so we can't judge Luka based on these performances, even though if you look at the numbers, he's one of the greats already if you just look at the stats. He just needs another guy to build around with him to really get to that championship level, and he's not there yet, but he will be eventually.
Yeah, and it's funny, they thought by acquiring Porzingis that was going to be the guy to kind of run alongside Luka, and it just, you know, it just didn't work out because kind of Porzingis needs plays called for him to be successful, whether it's down on the block or on the wing, and that's just kind of not how, I don't know, not how basketball is really, really played right now. It's a little more freestyle, and I guess the Warriors kind of popularized that. TJ just kind of the run and gun, shoot a bunch of threes, and it's certainly fun to watch. I love playing it. I'm really looking forward to what potentially could be a Boston Golden State Finals. I mean, I really think that could be 7 games. They really match up well against each other. Boston would have the home court in that. You got to remember, Golden State kind of slept. They kind of really struggled at the end of the season. They fell down to the 3 seed, while Boston was the 2 in the East. But man, Golden State, do we think they're the favorite? They're the betting favorite. Do you feel like Golden State's still the favorite for the championship?
Yeah. The big thing is they have the experience.
Right.
They've been there before. Boston has not. Boston's
a
young team.
That's a good point.
Jaylen Brown's, 25? Tatum's 23.
Yeah.
So I just don't think that they really have the veteran leadership. Steph's been there before. Klay's been there before. Draymond's been there before. That team knows how to win. They know how to get it done. And it's going to be a fun series. Don't get me wrong. I think, like you said, it could go 6 or 7 games.
Yeah.
It's so great because you have the best defensive team against the most explosive team. So it's going to be fun to watch. I just don't see... I mean, who guards Curry? I guess Banks will guard him.
Marcus
Smart. What am I thinking? I'm thinking of
Marcus Banks. Back in the day.
Back in the day.
I don't know why you said that. Yeah,
former Celtic.
Did you say you guessed the defensive player of the year? You said that like, I guess Smart.
Marcus, he's the defensive player of the year, bro.
Yeah, so he'll guard Curry. That'll be a good
matchup.
But
if he's on a bum foot trying to run around with Curry, that's going to be tough. It might end up being Derek White. He's going to have to play a lot of minutes in that series. I know we're looking ahead, but...
Yeah, I would be shocked if Boston won. I just really,
in the finals against Golden State.
Yeah, I think they'll make it a series, but for them to win, I know they'll have home court advantage. Correct? Is that correct?
Yeah, they'll have home court advantage.
Yeah, but Golden State's just too strong, and Poole's just emerging. It's just so unfair because Golden State has the championship core with Steph, Klay, and Draymond, but then you look at their roster and they have Jordan Poole and Kuminga coming up, who could carry the legacy as these guys age.
I mean, TJ tried to tell everybody.
I was on record for years.
You were on that like 2 years ago, like, get yours now.
Get yours now, because if this team is healthy and they come back, they're in trouble.
And Wiseman, we forgot about him.
Well, he's not going to come back this year, but next year and beyond.
But he's the great unknown, Wiseman. Yeah. I don't know what he's going to bring.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets traded. Mm-hmm.
You know, and getting back to this Larry Bird Luka thing, which
sorry to interrupt. It was Lonnie in Los Angeles who made that point.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that infuriates me, because I'm always like, until Luka plays defense, like, you.
Right.
This whole he could
you've
be.
You've been on that for a
I've
while.
I've been on that. And Larry Bird, 3-time all defensive team, that people forget that. Like, as someone who grew up, like, when I was a kid, it was the Sixers Celtics. So I hated Larry Bird and I had to watch him a lot. But Larry Bird, and not that Luke isn't, Larry Bird was a bad man, bro.
He also let you know about it.
And Larry Bird was a killer. He was a killer. And the only difference is, and I'll say this, Larry Bird was 23 when he entered the NBA. Luka's 22. So Luka's stats should probably end up surpassing Larry Bird's. But again, this whole top 10, those lists are just weird to me, because whose list are we going by? Because if the three of us made our top 10 list, we're going to have 5 of the same guys probably.
Right.
And then the other 5 are going to be different. So these lists are like, who's making
these
lists?
Okay, well, good. Speaking of, because this is what I want to talk to you about, because I've seen this on... I don't know if I saw it on some dumb Instagram this week, but if the Warriors win the championship, right? That's now 4 for Steph.
Mm-hmm.
And now is he in the top 10 all time?
You know, a big perk, Kendrick Perkins, the other day when we were in New York, I was watching this. He believes that if the Warriors do win and Steph gets another ring, he now bumps Magic Johnson off of Mount Rushmore basketball.
Come on.
And man, I tell you what, I'm a little perplexed by that, because for as great as Steph Curry is, and he is great,
Won Finals MVP.
He's never won MVP, even though he probably should have.
Not a great defender either.
But he's not a great defender, but he's better than given credit for it.
Iguodala won MVP Magic, the 1 year, weirdly. And Magic then Johnson, won the other two.
Magic Johnson, who at 19 years old had perhaps, you could make the argument, of having the greatest single basketball game ever played. Okay, you can make that
considering
argument.
Considering the circumstances and the parameters of that everything game, around, sure,
you can make that argument. Magic Johnson, a 6'9 point guard who won 5 rings and was MVP at 3 final series. Like, Magic Johnson saved the National Basketball Association.
With Larry Bird.
So, to me, again, when you talk these Mount Rushmores, first of all, Mount Rushmore shouldn't even count in basketball because there's 5 players.
Right, I don't want to talk Mount Rushmore.
So, we got to change it up. We got to have something. Whatever has 5, the top 5, the whatever. Right. We got
to
do a 5.
I'm talking about 10. Does Steph Curry go into the top 10 if the Warriors win the title and he's MVP?
Again, who do you, then it's
we,
like
we,
someone.
We need to list our top 10.
How about your top 10? TJ's top 10 NBA players.
Oh, man.
No ties. There's not 12. There's 10. Does Steph Curry make top 10? Because I'll tell you what, that's what's going to be talked about.
With 4 rings, that is a very good argument.
In 2 or 3 weeks, when the NBA Finals is over, and if it's Golden State, they say they beat Boston 4-2. I'm not going to be sad about that. And because I'll be winning a lot of money because I have a bunch of, and so if it's Steph Curry,
problems.
Double trophy,
and he gets the MVP,
he's coming down, double trophy, MVP. I mean, who else would it be? I mean, I guess Clay could have a huge finals.
Clay could do it, be one of the two of them.
I mean, Poole might have a huge finals. Does Curry go into the top 10 all time? Even if he's number 10.
Again, it just, I guess it depends on what your 10 is and who. Well,
let's go. Rattle off your 10.
I mean, my 10 is so hard because, like I said.
I know you think about it all the time.
I do, but my thing is, I have a top 10 who I think in the NBA lore, but I also just have my top 10 of guys who I've actually personally seen. I never got to see Will. I never got to see Bill Russell. I know they belong on that. I know especially Will Chamberlain belongs on that list. I just never got to see him play basketball. So if I were to go my top 10 just right now, if you're forcing me in no particular order, I'd say Jordan, Kareem, Magic, LeBron.
Okay, keep going.
Tim Duncan.
Okay. MJ, Magic, Kareem.
Did I say Larry?
No.
Larry.
Who did you say? You said Tim Duncan?
Tim Duncan? Oh,
that's
man.
That's 5.
Again, leaving the old school guys out because Oscar Robinson could be in here, but I'm not going to put him in this because, like I said, I didn't see him. Then I'd have to have, in the guys that I've seen, I'd have to put the Mamba in there in my top 10 of guys.
So that's 7.
That I've seen. Yeah.
You're not going to put any of the old guys?
Well, like I said, like I want to put Akeem in there. I want to, but 4 rings, change the game. Yeah, Steph Curry top 10.
Do we count impact as part of that? Because if we do, then...
then he's definitely top 10.
Yeah, Steph has been the most impactful player since Michael, I think.
And Adam, I made this argument. I don't know if I made it on air, but we were talking once, and they had players who changed the game. And I said, for as great as LeBron is, and you can make argument that he was 1 or 2 in most books, I can't say LeBron James changed basketball. No. Okay, he came in, he dominated, he played at a higher level for longer than anyone else, but I can't say he changed it. Steph Curry changed the way the game of basketball is played. He changed it. He changed everything. So, yeah, when you take that into consideration on top of everything else, and on top of the fact that, like, this guy's easily one of the most likable guys out there, and that shouldn't count for anything, but yeah, I would have to say Steph Curry should be top 10.
It's funny the change the way the game is played too, because when you think about LeBron James, he's just kind of the evolution of the big kind of point forward. Like, Maybe Magic was the first real big guy to be a primary ball handler.
Well, you know, Oscar Robertson was 6'5", so back then that was massive.
Maybe it went from Oscar to Magic. Mm-hmm. Like Scottie Pippen was a big guy, point forward, who was a primary ball handler.
Yeah.
And then kind of LeBron just really took that to the next level with being so strong. A lot of those guys coming up weren't as strong. I mean, LeBron played the game at 260, 265, you know, for...
Big, strong, fast.
Fast.
Healthy for
explosive.
The most part.
Explosive. You know, LeBron never really had a huge injury up until recently. His shot really progressed throughout the years.
He was afraid to shoot.
Afraid.
Then he couldn't shoot. Then
I'm just talking about from 3-point. Like,
but I'm just saying the knock on him. He passes too much. Yeah. Oh, now he's afraid to shoot. Oh, he can't shoot. Well, he changed all of that.
His jump shot really kind of evolved throughout the years. He became a good 3-point shooter. You know,
LeBron really is great, man. I can't front.
Oh, I love LeBron. I mean, you know, before he went to Miami.
Yeah, I got you.
I mean, I think it's you know, you could put Steph in your top 10, I feel like.
I don't feel like you should get much kickback from
people. I feel like number 10 for you, Adam? Is he 9, 10? I don't know.
Especially if we're talking about guys from our lifetimes.
Who gets booted? You know what I mean?
I jotted down a list I have
right
now.
Did you do a list real quick?
Thanks for putting me on the spot, Brockman.
I know, sorry about that.
This is not in order, but I have Michael, LeBron, Kareem, Russell, Magic, Larry, Wilt.
Well, like I said, Adam, let's leave guys out that we didn't see.
So there's an argument for Shaq. There has to be an argument.
Yeah, absolutely.
I kind of think Shaq should be in the. I mean,
most dominant player.
TJ, you only listed like 7 or 8 guys, but.
Yeah, well, I got stuck.
I mean, I think Shaq is
definitely
probably top.
So the argument.
I kind of think Shaq bumps Wilt, to be honest.
Well, guys, are we not painted? I'm like Sid.
I know.
So let's not count Wilt, Russell, all the guys before us because although we know they're there, we can't definitively.
Are we just going back to like 1980 then?
Yeah, like the 80s. Yeah. Like, you know, and so, well, yeah.
I like Tim Duncan on that list.
Do you choose Hakeem over Steph? That's a tough question. Hakeem is so incredible, and he was a way better defensive player than Steph, but he only has 2 championships. We're assuming that Steph will have 4, so.
I'm also kind of looking ahead that I'm going to bump Hakeem for Giannis, I think, at some point in the next 5 years.
It's possible.
You know.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, and then.
We're talking about right now at the end of the season.
Right now, I think Steph, of all time of players in our lifetimes I think Steph Curry has to be top 10. And now the more I think about it, I don't even think that can be an argument for our generation.
Well, if we're just going back 40 years, right?
So at 19, early 80s, 1982?
Yeah, maybe you cut it off at 8. Maybe you go when Bird and Magic came in, so you start at 80.
Bird, Magic.
You start at 80, so it's like Bird, Magic.
Michael.
Kareem, Mike. Shaq, Kobe.
Do you choose Steph over Kobe?
No, I think Kobe.
I think Kobe's in my ten.
Yeah, Kobe's better.
I mean, just 5 rings, just scoring. I mean, Kobe was way better
on defense
probably,
and stuff.
Yeah, definitely, but underrated overall defender, but better than Steph Curry. Yeah, from this era, yeah, I think Steph probably makes
it. Yeah,
even for top 10 for sure.
Even if he's 9 or 10, just since 1980.
Yeah,
absolutely. To me, he's the second best point guard of all time. He's surpassed Isaiah. He's surpassed Stockton. And the only way I could see him...
Surpass Stockton because he has all the titles, right?
Yeah, the only way I can see him surpassing Magic is if somehow they just go on another run and he gets 6 championships.
Yeah, then we can
Then there's
talk.
An argument.
I don't think I can ever take Magic Johnson out of my... I don't think it's possible. I think you're probably right.
And Steph, he does stretch the floor for his teammates. He makes it easier for everybody. He's an underrated passer also. But he didn't dominate a game and make it so much easier for the other players like Magic does or like Magic did. So as much as he makes his other teammates better, it's not like what Magic did. He was just completely made everybody's lives easier with that fast break.
I don't know if I agree with that, because if you got a guy that you know can come down and pull from 30 feet, that's going to change the way defense is played and that's going to leave some openings for his teammates.
They never had a dominant inside player.
No, they never did.
You know what I mean? Even Draymond... When Draymond was kind of scoring a little bit more, he doesn't really score much now. He liked to shoot from the outside.
But Magic, on those fast breaks, just would get people these easy dunks, these easy layups that Steph really just doesn't do.
Well, on Winning Time, it was nothing but alley-oops, yeah. Right?
And also, you know, to me, Steph is, I mean, he plays the point, but he's never, I think he averages, I didn't look at this, I think
five, six, something like that.
Yeah. Career assists. So Steph's more like in the Iverson role, where he's a two guard playing the point, even though AI eventually shifted over to the two.
I mean, a career 6.3. I mean, Steph's career numbers are crazy. 24, 5, and 6.
Yeah,
and
but you wouldn't say a guy averaging 6 assists is the greatest point guard ever. Right?
Because no,
the idea
that's
of a,
true.
The point guard is to distribute the rock.
But the idea of the point guard has evolved.
It definitely has.
Yeah. I mean, Kyrie Irving, I think his career number is probably right around 6, yeah. And he's one of the best.
And also, by the way, if we were just looking at assists, then, you know, obviously Stockton, because that's a record that's never going to get touched. Let me say it again.
And steals also. Stockton leads in steals.
Never going to get touched is that assists record, and probably the steals record, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I want to front load this probably for years from now. Let's say I'm thinking about potential first take topics. Mm-hmm. Let's say Steph gets the 6 titles, ties LeBron with 4, passes LeBron, passes Magic, ties Mike with 6. Are we gonna get the who's greatest of all time?
No.
Curry versus Jordan.
From idiots who were born in 2005, yes.
No.
But from any reasonable person who was born before that, absolutely not.
No, because I witnessed Michael Jeffrey Jordan play this game of basketball.
What if Steph, like you said, what if Steph, thanks to Poole and Kuminga, like,
how many finals has Steph lost, though?
He lost two,
I think.
Okay, but he's lost the final?
He lost. Yep.
Okay, exactly. You know who didn't lose the final?
I know.
Michael Jordan.
I will say,
Jordan was 6-for-6 finals MVP.
That whole thing of losing in the finals, I think Jordan is my favorite player ever, and I give it 6-for-6. But just because you lose in the finals isn't bad.
You still made it.
It's not bad, but if we're
going to conference championships,
but it's something that you have to use if you're having an argument between two people.
Right.
So you have to go this against this and this against this.
But you can argue that Steph makes it more times.
Adam, there's no argument
that he has. I'm just saying, a devil's advocate, that Steph made it way more times than Jordan did, and he won equal amount, so that's actually better. That he won more Western Conference championships.
But the thing is, you're devil's advocating for something that in your heart you do not believe.
Well, of course.
These words that are coming out of your mouth, you don't believe them.
I believe it is impressive to make the finals more times. I think having a 6-3 record in the finals is better than...
So you're impressed by LeBron then? Because you have to be.
I'm very impressed by LeBron.
You go to
LeBron
8 straight NBA finals. I don't care if you went. What did he go? 3-5. Like, I don't care.
He was 3-5.
You went to 8 in a row. Do you understand how hard that is?
I'm very impressed by that. Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
The East was so weak during that time. But yes.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, it was weak because of him.
Because of him.
You know.
Okay. I'm just saying, like, in 5 years, say, what if the Warriors get 3 more.
Yeah, I mean, then we'll revisit this.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Steph's not super old either. He was born in 88, so
his class of the draft class of 09. I was in the building. I was in Madison Square Garden when he got drafted.
Right?
Let me look.
Is he 34, Steph Curry? Yeah, he's 34.
Yeah.
He just had a birthday in March.
I was there, fellas. I saw it.
The way Steph plays, he could be doing this until he's 40.
Yeah, because shooters are always, as Reggie Miller and Ray Allen say, shooters can always shoot. So is he going to average 25 a game? No.
No.
He'll probably still get 15, 16 in his sleep.
Like, and then Kuminga and Poole can lead the way, and Steph can be the third guy.
Well, I think, let's chill on the Kuminga. We don't know what we're getting out of him.
It's an interesting argument. All right, let's end on this. While we were coming back, or I think while we're on the plane, All-NBA team was announced. Mm-hmm. Just want to touch on it real quick. Your first team, Giannis, Luka, Joker, the MVP, Devin Booker, Jason Tatum makes first team. Second team, Embiid, Morant, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan. Third team, Kat, LeBron, Chris Paul, Trae Young, Siakam makes third team. How you guys feel about this? You good with it?
You already know what my issue is. It's like the Embiid thing. You have the leading scorer in the league and...
Second MVP. The problem is the NBA does it by positions.
Which I don't like, by the way.
You don't? Why not?
The NBA has evolved into essentially becoming a positionless league.
Yeah.
And so, to me, all the NBA teams should be who are the 5 best players
in the league,
regardless of position, those top 5 players. It could be all 5 centers. It could be all five guards. But to me, there shouldn't be positions involved in general. And it should just be a time capsule of who are the best five players that particular year. Second team, who are the next best five players? Third team, who are the next best five players? So right. I think, yeah, they need to get rid of that, because Joel Embiid was absolutely a top five player this year in the league.
Yep.
And he got shafted on that.
He was number two. He was second in MVP voting.
Yeah, he got shafted on that because he was in the same position as Jokic. So to me, they need to change that next year. That would be something I would take up
They've done it on the All-Star thing where they kind of took away the center position. It's just three and two, kind of whatever, it's either three guards or two, four. But yeah, I mean, based on the points, I mean, Joel Embiid got 57 first place votes. Tatum got 49. And so Embiid had more points, but obviously, you know, the way it's set up now, you can't have two centers on the first team. But yeah, I'm just wondering if you have any beef with Curry being second team. Did he deserve it over Booker and Luka? What about LeBron? You got an issue with LeBron being on the third team?
Even though had a great season. Yeah. And remember, Steph started off super hot, and then he kind of, you know, he missed a few games, I think, near the middle of the season. Remember, he kind of cooled off a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So,
LeBron only played 56 games this year.
Yeah, but look at what he did in those games. I mean, his average.
Better question. Do you think there should be a minimum game requirement to be on all NBA?
I think, and I would put it around the 50 game mark. So
I would do it higher. I would do 60.
Yeah, I mean, do you don't want to see guys play three quarters of the season?
I mean, yeah,
LeBron, that's only about 60% of the year.
That's true, but like, so if LeBron played in 12 extra games, like he would, like he was going to put those numbers up, whether he played in 50 games or 60 games or 70
having
games.
Having a minimum game requirement would also give the players an incentive to play. They're like, oh, I could take a day off today, but that might screw me in terms of getting an All-League selection.
Because when you think about these guys' contracts and getting the Supermax, that's tied to making the All-NBA team.
Yep, yeah, exactly. So that's a way. So the NBA Players Association was upset when the league was talking about forcing players to play. That can be a way around it.
Yeah.
To create a minimum amount for all league.
I would bet that we see some sort of adjustment to this in the coming years.
All right, Chris, I have no problem. I mean, look, again.
Oh no, yeah.
All 15 of those guys are very deserving. You know,
I guess my question is, are these the 15 best players in the league when you look at the list?
I think for this season, if you're taking what they did in this calendar year, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, Siakam was super underrated. I feel like he had a great year for Toronto this year. I mean, that's,
and Luka was what team?
Luka was first. Luka had the second most first team votes.
Okay, that was actually my question. I just said it wrong. I was asking about like the voting, and you read my mind.
Oh, yeah, so Giannis had nobody voted Giannis for second or third team, so we got 100 first team votes. Luka and Joker were second. They got 88 first team votes, 12 second team votes. There was 100 votes total, 100 people vote. Devin Booker, 82 first team votes, 16 second place. Two people voted in for third team. I don't know what games they were watching. Tatum was split, 49 first team, 47 second team, 4 third team. And so that's your first team, because 2-4. So Tatum and Giannis were your two forwards. Okay. And then Embiid got 57 first place votes, 43 second team votes. So Embiid actually had the fifth most total points, but obviously he was behind Jokic in center points. So that's why he's on the second team.
Yeah, I think the position thing is just something that has to be figured out, and then all will be right.
Yeah. And then, you know, next year when it says Joel Embiid and then his team in parentheses, it'll say Dallas or Miami.
You're so stupid. Just dumb.
All right, guys. Enjoy the games tonight. Maybe it could be a closeout in Golden State. If not, then we will talk about a potential Game 7s next week. For Brockman, I'm Brockman.
Ron Burgundy?
I need a teleprompter. Burgundy. Adam and TJ,
wouldn't it be
fellas,
nice to have those things like other shows have? But we don't have writers or teleprompters.
Producers, so. Writers, researchers. All right, everybody. Enjoy the games. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Later.